Our study tonight is finishing up the book of Jeremiah. We're in Jeremiah chapter 52, verses 24 through 34. The various fates of those of varying choices on heeding God's word. Scripture teaches the key truth that obeying Scripture brings blessing where disobedience brings discipline. The various dramatic fates of people who made varying choices about heeding God's word are presented in Jeremiah 52, 24 to 34. And we view this passage for our insight and edification. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 52, beginning to verse 24, going to the end of the chapter. And the captain of the guard took Seraiah the chief priest and Zephaniah the second priest and the three keepers of the door. He took also out of the city a eunuch who had the charge of the men of war, seven men of them that were near the king's person, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host who mustered the people of the land, and 70 men of the people of the land that were found in the midst of the city. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and put them to death in Riblah, in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive out of his own land. This is the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive in the 7th year, 3,000 Jews in 3 and 20. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 3 and 20th year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Jews 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600. Now it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month and the 5 and 20th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the 1st year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison, and spoke kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. Changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet there was a continued diet, actually allowance, given to him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. Okay, Jeremiah's 40-year prophetic ministry had informed the people of Judah to repent of their idolatry, lest they suffer an invasion of a foreign nation. In Jeremiah chapter 26, 1 to 7, this passage is, and I'll just take a little bit of time to read that. Jeremiah chapter 26, 1 to 7. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word of the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the calamity which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, If you will hearken unto me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, Then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. However, under the leadership of the false prophets and the priests, they had rejected Jeremiah's message to the point where they actually spoke of killing him. Notice verse 8, Jeremiah 26. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. And of course, he was delivered from death at that particular time by some of the officials that actually revered the Lord. Then when Jeremiah had told all the people of the land, including the priests and the princes, that remaining in the city would bring death at the hands of the Babylonians, or surrendering to them would bring them life, the princes opposed Jeremiah, directing that he be executed. Let me read that. Jeremiah chapter 38, verses 1 through 4. Then Shephatiah the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah the son of Pashur, and Jukal the son of Shelemiah, Pashur the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, He that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by disease. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans, that be the Babylonians, shall live. For he shall have his life as a prey, and he shall live. Thus saith the Lord, This city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of the Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remaineth in his city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but their harm. And of course, Zedekiah initially put him in prison, then he was released, and so forth. So, you've got people who are responding to the preaching of Jeremiah, and they're not responding that well. In time, Babylon did invade Jerusalem. Jeremiah's prophecies were proved to be true, as seen in the varying fates that occurred to Judah's people relative to their varying choices on heeding God's word. It's interesting in this passage, you have a variety of responses. You have people executed, you have people that are taken prisoner, you have a king that's taken prisoner, and then he's honored. He's released from prison. And it's all predicated by how they obeyed the word of the Lord. First of all, those leaders who strongly disobeyed the word of the Lord from Jeremiah, seeking to have him put to death, were themselves executed by the king of Babylon. In verses 24 to 27, the Babylonian captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan, took Sarai, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the second in line for the chief priest's office, and the three keepers of the temple at Dora, along with 60 other high-ranking officials of the city, brought them up to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where Nebuchadrezzar passed sentence upon them. And there the king had them executed. Now, it's just exactly what Jeremiah said. You stay in the city, you don't, you know, reject this, you're going to get it. And of course, because they had wanted to put Jeremiah to death, the Lord use that as, you know, the past judgment upon them. Trying to put to death the messenger of the Lord is a capital offense. And so that was a problem. On the other hand, in verses 27b to 30, the people who surrendered to the Babylonians were saved alive and taken captive to Babylon. Jeremiah 52:27 summarizes that the Babylonians captured the people of Judah. He describes this captivity occurred in stages. Babylon took 3,023 people from Judah away in the seventh year of Nebuchadrezzar's reign, 832 people from Jerusalem in his 18th year, and 745 people of Judah in his 23rd year, for a total of 4,600 people from Judah. In other words, this deportation happened in stages. The reason for the stages, originally Nebuchadnezzar had wanted to keep people in the land because he didn't want the land overrun by wild animals or, you know, by some other foreign territory coming in and taking it. So when you overtake a land in the ancient Near East, you want to keep people there to work the fields and so forth, and they can also pay taxes. So it's worth more to you to keep people in the land. But they were still making trouble. And apparently because of the assassination of Gedaliah, which was the puppet governor that the king Nebuchadnezzar had kept there, that's one reason probably why he had one of these captivities. So this thing was stretched out over, you know, 23 years. But nevertheless, these people were taken, and they were given homes in Babylon, and they could have families and so forth there. And God kept them there until they could think about their sin and they would turn away from idolatry. What's interesting is that the people of Israel never did go back to pagan idolatry. They learned their lesson when they were in Babylon. They learned to stop it there. Then King Jehoiachin, who had surrendered to Babylon in obedience to God's word, was initially put in prison. But in time he was released, honored, and sustained by the king of Babylon. Though the book of Jeremiah does not record the event itself, King Jehoiachin was king in Judah during Jeremiah's ministry, and 2 Kings 24:8-12 records that he chose to surrender to Babylon's king when he once invaded Judah in obedience to God's word through Jeremiah. Now, King Jeconiah was 18 years of age at this particular time. And when King Jeconiah was taken captive, he went out and surrendered. There were others who surrendered. One of those was Daniel. The others were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went with this king, King Jehoiachin, at that time. And Daniel, we figure, would have been about 17 years of age. Because he lasted in, you know, a couple of kings and into Cyrus and so forth in his reign. So, this was a young king, fairly young king, only 18 years of age, but he made a wise decision. You know, he obeyed the word of the Lord through Jeremiah, and he went out. So opposite the terrible fate of Judah's last king, Zedekiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar had blinded and imprisoned in Babylon to the day of his death for trying to flee from him, that happened in Jeremiah 52, 1-11 that we read, Jehoiachin had a very different fate. Though initially prisoned, Jehoiachin was not physically abused. In other words, they didn't poke his eyes out. And in his 37th year of captivity, that's a long time, so he was put in prison at age 18 and he got out at age 55. But nevertheless, he didn't get out. Babylon's new king, Evil-Merodach, who ruled for just 2 years, he was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He brought him up out of prison. He spoke kindly to him. He honored his throne above that of the other kings captured in Babylon. He changed his prison clothes. He let him honorably eat at the Babylonian king's table for the rest of his life, and gave him a regular daily financial allowance for life. So in those days, if you ate at the king's table, you were honored. You were pretty well, highly honored. So for this man to be honored as a captured king was an amazing thing. What's interesting, Dr. Ryrie, in his footnote, says the tablets recovered from the ruined Ishtar gate in Babylon confirm this account of the kindness shown to Jehoiachin. That tablet also tells us that the four sons of Jehoiachin were treated well as well. So he was married, and he had children. He had four sons, and they would have received a remuneration for the rest of their lives as well. So Jehoiachin's elevation encouraged the godly remnant of Israel and Judah and Babylon about the Lord's promise of blessing in their own future. If God was taking the Davidic king and elevating him in captivity, that was a tremendous encouragement for the people of Israel who were there, who were captured, that God eventually was going to release them, and they were going to be able to come back to their land. So for disobeying God's word to surrender to Babylon to the extent that they called for the execution of God's prophet who taught it, Judah's priests and officials were destined to be executed by Babylon's king. For heeding God's word to surrender, the people who survived Babylon's invasion were destined to be taken captive to Babylon. For heeding God's word to surrender as a king of Judah and Babylon, Jehoiachin was destined not physically to be abused, as was disobedient King Zedekiah. And after 37 years, he was raised up out of prison. He was treated kindly and honorably and given financial security for the rest of his life by the king of Babylon. You know, you could have a study on the tremendous contrast between the fate of Zedekiah and the fate of Jehoiachin. One man is eating at the king's table. He's getting an allowance. The other man is languishing in prison, blinded. All because of disobedience or obedience. It's a tremendous lesson. So in application, may we fully obey God's word to enjoy his blessing, not disobey it to lose his blessing. I know that's a very basic message and a very basic lesson, but boy, is it true. Whew. Since God always honors his word, may we never take anything that the Bible says lightly, but take it very seriously. I got that lesson today when the Lord directed me in regards to the message that I prepared. I prepared the message, you know, it was the first thing that came to my mind, just ran it off. And yet I wasn't, you know, I have a tendency to be pretty hard on myself and critique it and so forth. But boy, this time the Lord indicated, no, I want you to go with that. I was leading you, Don, on that. And wow. The Lord really takes his word seriously, and he wants the presentation of his word taken seriously as well. So may we heed the word of God. Anytime we're exposed to it, we may be exposed to it in an area where we're hearing the message, or we may be exposed to it when we're studying in a Bible study or in our own studies and so forth. God is aware of whenever we're exposing our minds to His Word, and He's paying very close attention as to how we're responding to it. So we need to be careful to respond to it the way He wants us to respond to it, to honor it and to obey it.